It is great to see you this morning. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at the Azalea City Church of Christ. Hope everybody is excited about your holiday time and be able to have some time with your family and such. But I do not want us to miss the important part of that we're able to do it because of brave men and women giving the ultimate price to help make us free. In just a moment, we will be getting into our lesson. But before that, let me add a name and a family to the prayer list. This is Stephanie Hoggle. She is the cousin of our Jason Smith. She and her family lost everything recently in a house fire, I believe in Demopolis, right, Jason? I believe they have a lot of the things they need, but at the end of the day, they need a lot of prayer. And so please remember them in your prayer. That is the Hoggle family. And Jason, if there is anything we can do further, please let us know. Tomorrow is the day that we celebrate our independence from Great Britain. And I am thankful that we have opportunities to do that. Today is the day we celebrate our freedom from the grave, our freedom from hell, our freedom from sin. And because today, our Lord's Day, the day on the first day of the week that He rose from the grave, we get to celebrate that every Lord's Day. But as Christians, we celebrate it every day of our lives. Because today, we do not have to walk defeated. Today, we walk free. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. That is what we call the preamble to the Constitution. The Constitution, of course, for the United States is the supreme law of the land. However, we as Christians know that we have a supreme law to guide us as Christians, and that is the Bible. The Bible, I don't know if you'd call it a preamble, but the very first words are, "In the beginning, God." In the beginning, God. If we, as Christians today, will center everything we have around the one who was in the beginning, the one who was there through it all, before we were ever thought, before we were ever formed, before we ever sinned, before we ever were redeemed, there was God. We, as Christians, walk free today because of God's amazing grace, because of His mercy, because of His love, because of His desire to have a relationship with each one of us. We as Christians must center everything we have around God. As a nation, we center what we have around the supreme law. Today, as Christians, everything we must do must be what God tells us to in His wonderful book, The Law of Liberty for each and every one of us. We, the people of our Lord. We, the people of our Lord. The Constitution was adopted September 17, 1787. Of course, we gained our independence from Great Britain, July the 4th, 1776. Along the way, For us to remain free today, there has been a lot of bloodshed and a lot of lives given so that we can do exactly what we're doing today. So that we can do exactly what we're going to do to honor the holiday tomorrow. But as Christians, it was around AD 33, we, the people of our Lord, became free. Along the way, it took some special blood. It had to be shed in order to purchase our salvation. It took a special life that was freely given so that we as Christians can walk free from sin and Satan, and the grave and hell today. July the 4th. Here on July the 3rd, 2022, July the 4th, 1776, should still be special to every one of us Americans. But today, as Christians, the resurrection of our Lord better be special too. So, today, you know what we've done? We've come together to celebrate. To celebrate as we sing about, because He lives. To celebrate because up from the grave He arose. To celebrate because we have that victory in Jesus. We came today to worship, not out of obligation. If you came out of obligation, I hope and pray that today you will change that mindset. Do not let it be an obligation. Understand the privilege of it. If we are truly going to move forward, we have to understand how free we are spiritually. So what do? We celebrate. How will we celebrate? Much in the same way that we celebrate holidays like July the 4th. The first thing you'll hear a lot of, if you haven't already tonight, is fireworks. I guess we are, I don't know, I didn't look this up, but it appears to be we are like the capital of firework heaven around here. I mean, you can buy fireworks in a Walmart parking lot or on every corner. Probably you could go to the flea market and buy some. I don't know. You can get them everywhere. Maybe even in gas stations today. Who knows? But at the end of the day, there will be billions of dollars spent on fireworks for July the 4th alone this year. There will be fireworks shows everywhere. I believe you can find one in Sims, in Dawes, where the area where we live. There are two churches that you could throw a rock from one another. They're having two huge fireworks shows. I don't know why. I guess they're going to compete. Who can shoot the higher fireworks? I don't know. But at the end of the day, you can find them. We can sit in our backyard. There's a guy who has an empty lot just, I don't know, 100, 200 yards from us. We can sit in our backyard tonight and see as good a show as you want to see. Our dogs don't really enjoy it, but we do, right? There'll be billions of dollars, fireworks shows everywhere. The sky will be lit up this 4th of July with lights that come from fireworks. It's a way that we, the people, celebrate and remind ourselves of our independence. Well, guess what? In Matthew chapter 2, we find that the sky was lit up that night as well. Oh, it wasn't lit up with fireworks, but it was lit up by a star. And that star is shining much brighter than any firework that we could shoot. Turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew 2. Let's read together verses 1 through 11. Matthew 2, 1 through 11. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There was a star that night lighting up the sky because a true star in our Savior had been born. You see, you think about the compare contrast. Before Jesus, or let's say it this way, without Jesus, there is darkness. You think tonight, you look up in the sky. Yeah, you'll hear the boom and the pows and all that. But you'll look up in a dark sky and those fireworks will illuminate that sky. But it's just a fleeting moment, isn't it? Till another one is shot off, another one is fired. And when they're all fired, it's over. But Jesus illuminated the night. The star guided the wise men. The star led them to the true star of our lives. The bright and morning star. And because of that, we no longer have to spend our lives in darkness. Tonight, we think about celebrating July the 4th. Well, today and every day of our lives, we need to celebrate our independence from the grave. We need to celebrate because the star lit up the sky that night. If you look at verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Why did they rejoice? Because a star had been born. You know, I think back to the story of Esther. You know, Esther, what was the kind of the catchphrase that comes out of the book of Esther? For such you were born, for such a time as this. Perhaps, Esther, you were born to save God's people, to save the Jews. Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. Esther's name means star. Fast forward now all these years later to Jesus Christ. Remember that Paul reminded us that Jesus came at just the right time. This star, the star, the bright and morning star, was born at a time to not just save God's chosen people, but to save all that are willing to follow, that are willing to do as those wise men. Follow the light so that we can find the Savior. They rejoice because the Savior of the world had been born. They rejoice because hope had been born. They rejoice because God in the flesh was now dwelling among us. They rejoice because independence was coming for we, the people of our Lord. How did they celebrate the news of independence? How did they celebrate this good news that they had received? They fell down. They worshiped. They presented their best. They fell down. They worshiped. They presented their best. Today, as we have come into the assembling of ourselves together, the assembling of the saints, as we worship together, worship literally means to prostrate ourselves, to fall down, to worship. We've given of our needs. We've given of our money. We've given of our time. We've given of our heart. We give the best because God demands and deserves the best because He has given the best for us. When we see the fireworks, when you see them tonight, wherever you are, again, you don't have to go far. You might see them. Don't even drive anywhere like at my house. When you see the sky illuminated and lit up, think about freedom. I think it's a good thing. Think about what had to happen so that we can have a holiday like that in this country. But when you see the light, may we always think about the independence we gained through Jesus Christ. How else will people celebrate this Independence Day and celebrate this freedom we have in Christ? Well, it makes sense, right? That we're going to do it with family. We're going to do it with family. This holiday, there will be a lot of family. Got a lot here today. Some of y'all have come in. Some of ours own has traveled to be with friends and family. There will be a lot of family gathered all around us. Why? Because family's important. I believe family's even vital. I believe we need that relationship. You see, the 4th of July reminds us of the freedoms we have to be able to spend time with our families. And I think that's a neat thing. But 8033 made it possible for our forever family to be free as well. Today we are celebrating our independence as God's forever family from the devil, from sin, and from hell. Family time was and still is important to our Savior. In fact, when He was 12 years old, let's look and remember how important it was to He and His family. Luke chapter 2 now, beginning in verse 41. Luke 2, beginning in 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when He was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Let's look at this. Let's dissect this a little bit. I think there's some important truths in it. Number one, every year, this family observed the Passover. Now, that was a big deal because it was a big deal to the Jewish people to observe Passover. Remember now what Passover was. It represented their freedom, didn't it? It represented their freedom from Egypt, their freedom from Pharaoh. Remember that the last plague, the death of the firstborn, As long as you had blood over the doorpost, blood over the lintels, those things that the death angel would then pass over your house. There was a great annihilation that night. Pharaoh's own child, so many others died, but not those who were covered in the blood. So every year, Mary, Joseph, they would take Jesus and ultimately their other children, and they would go and celebrate this Passover feast. It was their custom. It was their ritual. It was important to them. It was vital to them. But then something happens, right? They realize Jesus is not with them. They get separated. So you know what they did? They didn't say, oh, well, we'll get him next year. They sought him anxiously. Today, as we're celebrating freedom, we may have forgotten the most important part, and that's Jesus Christ. Today, you may have walked in here today, maybe you're visiting because somebody asked you to come visit with them. Maybe you're visiting because you've got good parents and they said, hey, you're going to come eat my stuff on Monday, you're going to come worship with me on Sunday. And so you need to thank them for that. But at the end of the day, for whatever reason you came here, if you came here without Jesus, today is the day to seek Him. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. Today, this moment, if you want to move forward, if you want to be free spiritually, we cannot live our lives separated from Jesus Christ. We got to find Him. But one other point we see in all of this. Jesus was and always has been about His Father's business. The one that we serve today, He came to fulfill His Father's business. Two times, God called from heaven. Now Jesus, He left heaven, He came to this earth. Remember, and we know, 33 years or so He lived on this earth, right? For three of those years, His public ministry was there. He crammed all that into those 3 years. Ultimately, He went to the cross. He died. Of course, went back to His Father. But in that time, they weren't together like they'd always been in existence. Jesus was now in human form. The Father, spirit form in heaven. Jesus prayed a lot, but two times in Scripture we actually have God calling down to Him. And here's what He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." The first time He did that was at His baptism. When Jesus really tells the world, "This is who I am." He's baptized there to fulfill all righteousness, to remind us of the righteousness that's in baptism. The second time God called out from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," is at the Transfiguration. Now you remember there's a cool scene there at the Transfiguration that Jesus only takes just His close friends, and Peter's so excited he didn't know what to do. He just kind of runs, like me. He gets nervous and he just starts talking. And so he's like, "You want us to build some tabernacles? You want us to do this? You want us to do that?" Because Elijah's there, or Moses is there, Elijah's there, and Jesus is there. And at that moment, God says, "You ever thought about it? Why? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Because they passed the baton. They passed the torch. It began with the Mosaic Age, right? God, beginning, spoke through the patriarchs, but then He spoke through the Mosaic Law. He gave them the law. And that reigned over them. But then came the prophetic age, and Elijah's representing that. And now they're passing the torch to the Christian age. Because it was at that moment that God is saying, "My Son has completed my business." Now He still had to go to the cross, and He still had to die, but He came to get the job done. Wouldn't it be so tragic today? We live 50, 60, 70 years in Jesus Christ. And instead of getting better, we only got worse. Instead of being the best Christian we could possibly be, we just quit doing the Father's business. You see, Jesus came, did, and completed, and always was about His Father's business. You know, that business really came to mean something to us around Matthew 16. It was in Matthew 16 when Jesus wanted His disciples to tell Him, "Who do you believe I am?" Remember, He asked the question, "Who do they say that I am?" Peter spoke up, said, "Some say you're Jeremiah, Elijah, John the Baptist, one of the other prophets." He said, "But who do you say that I am?" He said, "I say you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And you remember what Jesus did? Symbolically, He gave Peter keys to open doors to the kingdom of God. In Acts chapter 2, Peter takes those symbolic keys. And you know what he did? He opened the doors to freedom. The doors to freedom for God's forever family. Listen to how they treated the thought of freedom with family. Beginning in Acts 2 verse 40, "And when many other words, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." A bunch of folks who knew they were free, and they celebrated. They celebrated as a family. Today, we celebrate freedom with God's forever family. Thirdly and finally, how do you celebrate freedom? You celebrate it with freedom. You celebrate it freely. We are free today, tomorrow, to celebrate the 4th of July because of the freedom we enjoy in the United States of America. There have been so many heroic stories of sacrifices made to keep us free. I love stories of heroes. There was one that really always touched my heart. I know we hear a lot on September the 11th about what happened with those in Pennsylvania and the Let's Roll, the Beamers, and all that. And again, all that's heroic. But I want to share with you this one that I really like. In July of 2001, Bill Butler, one of the heroes that came from this tragedy, married his wife, Diane. And the couple moved into a new home in upstate New York. Bill Butler left for work at 4:30 a.m. September the 11th to study for his lieutenant's exam, and went for coffee as firefighters outside his station saw a low-flying plane and heard a crash. They sensed catastrophe, but that was their call. And they went. As they approached the World Trade Center, the crew saw so much falling from the sky that they couldn't distinguish the debris from the desperate leapers. They sprinted into a lobby blown apart and entered stairwell B as 12,000 people ran for their lives. Firefighters going up as everyone and everything else came down. Those firefighters, you know what they did? They walked into the fire so that the rest of them could walk out of it. Does that sound familiar? Think about the greatest sacrifice of all as we get ready to close. Barabbas walked away while Christ walked to the cross. Pilate washed his hands while Jesus had his nailed to the tree. They struck Jesus in the face and the mouth, yet Jesus never opened his mouth. They laughed and they ridiculed. Jesus asked his Father to forgive them. They took his clothes to bring shame. He willingly clothed himself in blood to bring freedom. They raised him up for all the world to see. God raised him up so that all the world could be free. We, the people, because in the beginning, God, we can celebrate freedom today because of people walking into the fire so that we could walk out. We can celebrate freedom today. We can move forward today because Jesus went to the cross instead of us. How will you respond? Will there be fireworks? Will there be family? Will there be freedom? Today, if you walk to freedom, oh, there'll be fireworks. We'll all celebrate. You'll be a part of God's forever family. And we will welcome you with open arms. And best of all, through it all, today you will walk away free. If you're not yet a baptized believer, or if you need to come home, walk to freedom right now as together we stand and sing.